Christian greetings to each one. Glad for the opportunity to be in God's house again this morning. Appreciated the service, what was shared with us, discussion in Sunday school and devotions. I'd like to again think this morning on the subject of the clarity of Scripture, clarity of God's Word, the Bible. We need to be convinced on the clarity of the Scriptures and that they are for us and that they can be understood and that God does speak clearly through His Word. Why does God speak clearly in His Word? He speaks to communicate. Beginning of time, Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." He says, "Let us." So who is God talking to? I don't think he was talking to the animals who he had just created. But let us. I believe he was referring to the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Seems like there was communication here. And the decision was made to make man in God's image. And while there may be debate on what all that includes, I think it is clear that God made man like him to communicate. God is a communicator. So man made in God's image also communicates. I believe in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, we find the first recorded communication between God and man. God speaks to Adam. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God not only speaks within the Trinity, but also speaks to His creatures. God spoke to man. He expected man to hear and to understand. Adam's very life depended on hearing and understanding God's Word, God's words. So I believe right from the beginning, God made man capable of both listening and understanding, and even speaking with language. God created man and he gave him language, the ability to communicate clearly. If you don't believe in creation, then you have to go back to the evolution theory, which includes the thought that man being able to communicate through a language took thousands of years to develop. And we reject all of that. We believe that man was created with the ability to communicate so that we can talk to God, and we can talk to each other. Language, like the rest of creation, is good, made by a good God. Genesis 1, and there's numbers of verses here indicating, telling us that God is good, and I think maybe we'll just go ahead and read verses 10 through 31, the end of the chapter. God creating the world. I think we'll just take the time to do that. Verse 10, chapter 1, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Just take note as we read how often God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament in heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and he to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When we're talking about something and we say that it's good, it's something that works. When we have something that doesn't work, we say it's no good. What God created was good, including language. Man has developed things that are not good. Man has developed things to destroy human life. We know about some of these things, atomic bomb, chemical warfare, many things that are used in warfare, tanks, missiles, etc. They're not good for what they're used for. But God is good, and what he has created is good. Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 119:68, thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes. Too often man takes the good things God has created and uses them for carnal purposes. Well, back to our subject, our original subject. What does it mean for a language to work well, to be good? Language was designed to communicate, to take an idea from one mind and get it into another. Sometimes a person is talking to another, and the person might say, "I have no idea what you are trying to tell me." In that case, the language has not worked very well. But words are designed to convey knowledge, to guide, comfort, to instruct. And God used words. God used words to tell Adam that he could eat from every tree except one. In order for a language to be good, it must be clear. It must work for what it was designed for. The Bible is clear because it's the words of God, and He is good. He uses His word to convey to man the way to eternal life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God is able, He is willing to communicate exactly how He intends, using the good gift of language. You can take God at His word. In conversation, you may hear this phrase sometime, to be honest. To be honest, I will need to tell you this or that. Or honestly, the preacher is boring. But God doesn't need to use that phrase. He is always honest, and His words are always true. The Bible is clear because God is good. The clarity of God's word is a testimony to His kindness, His love, and His generosity. God wants to make Himself known to us because He is good. He wants to have a relationship with man. So, don't you think God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, is able to communicate His desire for that relationship to happen? And what it will take for the relationship to happen? Bible is clear because God is good. All of our confidence rests on that. But the fact remains, though the scripture is clear, God is well able to communicate His desire for man, yet we sometimes struggle to understand and apply it to our lives. Even Paul acknowledges that there are some things that are hard to understand. So if the Bible is clear, then why is it unclear? God has spoken clearly, but that doesn't mean that we will always listen clearly. We can intentionally or unintentionally misinterpret Scripture. Culture and historical facts can make the interpretation of Scripture more difficult. But I don't think these communicative barriers restrict God. They do not prevent God from inspiring a clear biblical text. But those barriers can make the text unclear to us. So where does that problem come from, and when did it start? Well, we saw there in let's read some more from Genesis 3. I think we'll read verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. According to this scripture, the source of confusion was the serpent, and he uses his poisonous confusion in two attempts at Eve. Revelations 2:20. The serpent being Satan, he begins his attacks with, he begins his attack there with pretty much what we call a plain lie, a direct contradiction of what God had told Adam. We take note of the difference in what Adam actually, what God actually said, and what Satan implied that he said in the scripture that we just read. God said that they could eat of every tree except one. Satan suggested that God said they could not eat of every tree. It seems that Satan is suggesting that God is holding something good back from man, and that man would enjoy greater things if he would listen to him, Satan. And Satan still works that way today, doesn't he? But we already said that God is good. He does not hold things back from man that are for his good, for his enjoyment. But Satan sets himself up as somebody good, and he sets himself up as somebody interested in man's welfare. He himself is lifted up, usurps authority, and says, ye shall not surely die. See that these two arguments are bound up in this statement, and both of them show that the problem of Scripture not being clear is on man's part and not God's. Could God have spoken any clearer than what he did? We could notice that in this half-truth, these lies that Satan was using, it seems like Satan assumes that Adam and Eve are not enough like God. His reason for why they should eat from this tree, if ye eat, then ye will be like God, implying that they are not enough like God as they should be or could be. But we know that man was made in God's image, but Satan wants them to forget that. He wants them to think on the fact that they are not all-knowing. Satan suggests that they could be. He wanted them to covet this. I don't think that God ever intended for us to know everything, but in his goodness, he did intend to communicate with us about some things, like that there was one tree that Adam and Eve were barred from harvesting from, and that death would follow if they disobeyed. They didn't need to be all-knowing to know that this would happen. They didn't need to have a master's degree in communication to know what God had said. They just needed to simply submit. Another argument that Satan had for why they cannot trust God's command to them, for God doth know. What is Satan saying? Might he be implying that God is hiding something from man, from Adam and Eve? Hiding something like he doesn't want competition? Like he really doesn't want man to be like him? He really doesn't want man to have all the good things? How wrong those implications are that Satan was making. God is good, and he can be trusted. He gives man all he needs. But Satan wants us to think differently. He wants us to question what God has said and what he really means. When we look back at Adam and Eve and their experience, we think, how hard was it? How hard was that to understand and obey God? Seemed like God's command was very clear. So what was the problem? They had everything that they needed for life, health, and happiness. But I wonder, and I know this is just a thought, but I wonder if Adam and Eve, looking forward to where we're at, thinking about issues that we face, would they say the same thing to us as what we think about them? How hard is it to understand? Why all the confusion when God speaks clearly? They might think the same of us as we thought of them. It's not all that hard. God speaks clearly. When we question the goodness of God, then we question the truth of his word. And when we do that, we have lost our moorings. When Satan convinced Eve to take her eyes off the goodness of God and onto the tree, he managed to convince her that God is in fact not as good as she once thought he was. I'll reread verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. Before this, God had been the only one declaring what was good. And now Eve takes it upon herself to decide that this forbidden tree is good, good for food. When the tree looked good, God did not. When we decide to go against God, rejecting his way, we do the same thing. We think man's way is better than God's. How wrong Eve was, how wrong we are when we take that path. Seems like when man fell for Satan's deception, they introduced obscurity to their relationship with God. The elevation of the creature over the Creator makes us unable to hear God as clearly as he speaks. As man was expelled from the garden to the desert east of Eden, their distance from God grew, and his word begins to seem more and more unclear. The farther we move from God, the more unclear his word is. I believe that sin is the first reason why we fail to understand our Maker. And then Babel increases that problem with a new barrier to clear understanding. And the less we understand, the farther we get from God. Father we get from God, the less we understand. So man stumbles around in spiritual blindness because he has rejected the source of light and truth. He has rejected the source of true light and truth. We hear the statement today, this world is in a mess. Many people will acknowledge that, and it is. It all started back when Satan worked his deception on man. It's been said the clarity of Scripture is a moral issue. Unbelievers see the Bible as a shrouded fog. Believers see it as a cloudless day. And the difference lies in our hearts all the way down to our desires. Sin obscures Scripture. Obedience reveals its clarity. Who can read the Word of God and understand it? Those who will do what God has clearly said. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to meet a Vietnamese man and his family. And the man's name was Tan. And it was soon obvious that he knew the Scripture. And he was applying it to his own life. So I asked him about his conversion experience. And he had lived a life far from God. He had spent about 10 years, I believe, incarcerated here in the States. And during that time, someone started sharing God's word with him. Resulting in a changed man. Here was a man coming from a different culture, a heathen society, and yet God's word was clear enough to him to show him that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. It was clear enough to him that he now has a relationship with God, and he wants to continue to grow and bring his family with him. For him, it's a growing experience. The more he says yes to God, the more God reveals his will for him and his family. I believe it's the same for us. It didn't seem like God's word was obscure to him, because it seemed like it was clear to him as he obeyed what he knew. The Bible is different than other books. You could read and understand a novel. You could read and understand a textbook, travel brochure, without ever having to make a moral commitment to the content of the book or to its author, for that matter. But when God speaks, He requires not only our attention, not only our apprehension, but also full submission. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we don't fear the Lord, if we're not willing to obey Him, not willing to obey what He tells us in His Word, we will come up with an excuse. We'll come up with an excuse that we don't understand, that His Word is not clear enough. Romans 1, I think I'll read verses 20 through 25. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but because of vain became vain in their own imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Sounds like a description of society today. Humanity chooses blindness over sight. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses delivered a strong warning to God's chosen people. And I have a few minutes here. I think we're going to read this warning. Deuteronomy 30. I think we'll read verse 11 through the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day for life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan, to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Doesn't seem to be obscure language here. We use the term plain English, and I suppose this was plain Hebrew, language that could be understood by the Israelites, language that can be used by the Mennonites as well. We can hear, we can understand, and we can obey. Choose life, hear and obey. Not hearing is a willful act. It's a decision, a choice. You can choose whether or not to submit to God's word. And either understanding or confusion will follow, depending on our choice. When we submit, we understand. When we refuse to submit, we become confused. And we see that in society today. Principles of God never change. And I know that this country that we live in has had lots of evil in it from the time it was founded. But as time moves along, things that are accepted as the norm today, if the founding fathers would see what's going on today, I believe it would cause them much grief. And as man rejects God, he is willfully ignorant, and he becomes more ignorant. The more he rejects God, the more ignorant he becomes. The more confused he becomes. Society is morally bankrupt. Jeremiah and Isaiah say hard hearts and stiff necks mean heavy ears and blind eyes. Scripture is only clear to those who, with soft hearts and open ears, are willing to obey it. To those who will not submit to God and His Word, the Bible remains a book that cannot be understood. So, a question that man should answer: if you understand the Bible, would you obey it? If your answer is yes, I believe as we read God's Word, we will be able to understand it. Therefore, choose life, and light will come. May the Lord bless as we endeavor to do that.